If you'd like to follow along, the scripture reading will be coming from 1 John. The book of 1 John, chapter 3, I'll read verses 7 through 10. 1 John 3, 7 through 10. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother.
To see everyone this evening. We trust you have a copy of the outline. Looking forward for a hopefully encouraging study from God's Word. One thing about summer, we have people to travel, people that visit, and we also have those that are visiting from the various camps associated with the college, and we have visitors tonight from that. We appreciate your presence. We've been trying to keep track of incoming freshmen and future incoming freshmen, and we appreciate you filling out a visitor's card. Let us know of you considering having your child come to this university. We are very encouraged by those who have been part of us and those that are going to be in this next class. And we're trying to keep track of that. One thing we try to do here is not only know the students, but know the parents. And if you haven't had a chance to go to our website, look at our parent-student resource page. And on our website, you get past devotionals we've done, classes we've done. You get a pretty good idea of the kind of teaching program and resources we have for students and for every Christian. Appreciate, we talked in a business meeting today about our work that's been done with our audio. We generally try to have a CD available after the service. We certainly, with our meetings, try to have CDs. Several years ago, when I was a relatively new Christian, I'll never forget a meeting held at the old 77th Street Church in Birmingham. A man by the name of Wayne Partain taught the lessons. It was morning lessons where I heard the outline you're about to get tonight. This is really a Wayne Partain outline. If it flops, don't blame it on him. But I'll never forget getting, not only hearing him present this, but getting audio tape of the lessons. And I wore those audio tapes out. Wayne Partain, about a month ago, sent me an email. He's on our email bulletin. I don't know if our members realize this, but we do send our little Auburn Beacon out by email with an additional article. It goes around the country. And Brother Partain wrote and says, I really like your email bulletin. And I wrote back to him about remembering him in that meeting in the 80s. Maybe it was the 70s, excuse me. It was about 75, I think. And he made a very kind response to me. He does a lot of, did a lot of work in the Spanish-speaking brethren. That is what he's been known of. He translated a lot of material. And I told him about my son Stephen working in that area, and he gave a really nice reply to that in response to it. So, now to the lesson. Whose child are you? Very simple lesson. There are phrases in the Bible that we read all the time that I don't know if we really understand the import of them. This is a simple lesson, but one that challenges us. When God looks at us, He knows who we are. You know, one of the problems people have sometimes is they don't know themselves. They don't want to see themselves. That's where people start losing their minds, when they don't want to see reality. Well, you get into the Word of God, God knows us. We can't fool God. And it's interesting, in verse 12 of Hebrews 4, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know, we can't fool God. And if we will honestly look at His Word, He's going to call our bluffs and say, here you are. Now, if I trust God, it hurts. I'm going, okay, yeah, that's me. Lord, I repent. Lord, help me. Now, that's the right response. Verse 13 says, there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Okay. God, knowing us, could tell us our characteristics. He wants us to see what He sees. It's interesting, Jesus, during His ministry, one of the first things He did when He saw His disciples, He gave them names. We're going to talk about that. What would God say if He saw us today and gave us a nickname? Or maybe He said we are a son of something. What would He say? We would have nicknames. We would have descriptions given to us by God. But I want to go back to this idea is that we don't oftentimes want to see what God sees. Proverbs 16:2, the Bible says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. We're going to see later in this lesson where the Pharisees said, but if we had lived in the days of the prophets, we would have protected them. And Jesus says, no, you wouldn't have, you'd kill them. They didn't see themselves. Isaiah 5:21, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. We need to humbly say, Lord, help me. Every time we open the Word of God, every time we sing a song, every time we come into an assembly, every time really we're putting ourselves before God, we've got to understand we tend to not want to see ourselves. But we got to see so God can help us. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves as whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you unless indeed you are disqualified. So now, we're going to, the rest of the study, simple study. What does the Bible mean when it says that you are a son of God or that somebody is a son of something? Quite an interesting study. I found it, I've always found it to be interesting as we take phraseology like this. We read 1 John 3, and we'll look at the context in a minute. But here in 1 John 3, you know, basically John says, now I want you to understand. You're either son of God or a son of the devil. And there's a way to know the two. In 1 John 3:10 it says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So now let's develop this evening. Whose child are you? As you go to Scripture, you find out that really your actions really show whose child you are. When the Bible talks about being a child of God or a child of Abraham or sons of light or sons of darkness or children of wrath or children of the devil, it's describing the dominant pattern in our life. It's not what we say we are. It's not the outward face that we may put on to others. It's who we really are. You are someone's child. Defining it, someone would say, would be to possess the characteristics or qualities of a person. It denotes something possessed to a great degree and is often a moral quality. We might really say he really is a son of his father. I'll try not to embarrass Nathan tonight, my son who is in the audience, but you know it could be said at times that there are some things Nathan does that I have an influence on. And sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad. There have been times Nathan would leave a mess somewhere and people would say, well, yeah, maybe Bet would. Yeah, you're just like your dad, you know. We sometimes don't notice messes. Now, I'm not saying that's the way he is necessarily, but there have been some characteristics he's taken on. Stephen has corny jokes, you know, really corny jokes that make people cringe and people go, yeah, he got that from his dad. And so we know how that is in families. There are things we take in from our parents and that we're like this, you know, and that can be good and that can be bad. To the context, who are you like? 1 John 3:7 says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In this context, we're talking about practice. We're not talking about somebody committing one sin. Oh, you're a child of the devil. You've committed one sin. No. We're talking about a characteristic pattern of life. somebody practicing something, walking in something, continuing in something. If you are a Christian, there is a power in your life. There is a direction you're taking. Yes, you could have weaknesses. Yes, you can be struggling, but you are trusting God, seeking forgiveness, repenting of sin, being molded. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. No, it doesn't mean he never sins, but he doesn't practice sin. That's the context here. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. You know one of the easiest tests to find out whether somebody's a son of God or not? Not necessarily that they're in the walls of this building right now. A child of God would want to be with Christians. It's not whether or not someone would profess that the Bible is the inspired word of God. A child of God would do that. You know where I found the acid test has been, and I'll say it's an acid test for me, is how I deal with my brethren. How I deal when somebody gossiped about me, or somebody snubbed me, or somebody, this would be bigger for me if somebody's done something to my children or my wife. Notice here, you got to love your brother. 1 John talks a lot about that. Yeah, you talk about being a child of God, your attitude toward your brethren, as well as your enemies, we'll see in the course of this study. God has got to touch you where you live. He's going to change your heart. He's going to change your attitude. Now, as you go through Scripture, we talked about how Jesus gave descriptions to his disciples. Remember, Peter was described as a rock. Well, what? A rock? You know, here you are. You know, well, he became a rock. But notice some of the disciples. Mark 3:17. James, here's the naming the disciples. I don't know who that gave this description to them, but this was accurate. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name. Yeah, well, Jesus gave the name. Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder. What's a son of thunder? You hear some thunder a moment ago? We got a, you know, good illustration here coming up. What's a son of thunder? Their temper. There's one occasion, there is a group that, you know, Jesus, they walked by foot and they went to places to preach, and they didn't necessarily have a Motel 6 to go to. They would have to be received into a community and allowed to come in and preach, and people give them a place to stay. And here they are traveling. They're likely tired. And here this village says, "We don't want you to stay here." What did the sons of thunder want to do? They wanted to call out an airstrike with nuclear weapons. They said, "Let's call down fire from heaven." They really did. They were known for their anger. Now notice, that was their characteristic. James and John. Wait, didn't we just read in John where we should love our brother? Guess what? By the time you got the ministry of Christ to the time when John begins to be used by the Holy Spirit to reveal the will of God, he's known as the disciple of love. Ah, you see here, God knows who we are. But God wants to make something of us. They didn't remain this way. And so again, when we talk about being a son of something, it's not necessarily something that's going to be permanent. You can be a child of the devil and become a child of God. And unfortunately, you could be a child of God and you could become a child of the devil. We'll be developing that thought as we go. Let's keep looking at some of the phrases. So many examples in Scripture. If it was in a Bible class, I'd probably ask you right now, let's just raise up hands and you just tell me the occasions you see this kind of description given in the Word of God. Luke 10:9, it says, "And a son of peace is there. Your peace will rest on it. If not, it'll return to you." Here they're trying to determine, you know, he's sending them out on a commission. And they would go to a village and whether or not they would be received. Here's somebody that would be peaceful, not in conflict. They would be interested in helping them. Luke 16:8, Jesus says, "So the master commended the unjust servant because he dealt shrewdly, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than sons of light." Should have underlined sons of light here. Sons of this world is what? They know how to make money. They know how to negotiate life. The sons of this world would be somebody that's business savvy. And at least if, when you're talking about bringing the bacon home and getting by in this life, they did have a worldly wisdom to them. What's the sons of light? People who had given themselves over to God's Word. Here in this passage, it talks that in some areas, the sons of the world can navigate things through a earthly wisdom because they're of the world. It's the outstanding characteristic of these individuals. And so, you think back in the past, what did members of Churches of Christ used to, and I'll have to tell you sadly, used to be known as? Used to be known as walking Bibles. You know, I used to say, but there would be people, I've heard various statements like that, that in years past somebody said, well, here's a member of the Lord's church, they're walking Bibles. You know, you can go talk to them, they'll quote your scripture. And so we keep going. In the King James Version, Jesus, in one of his parables, he talked about, here he describes somebody, a group of people, he says, and Jesus said to them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with him? And here in the idea of being of the bride chamber, they were attendants, they were closely associated with the wedding. So with that in mind, you get the point. Child of, the characteristic, what they're like, how they would be described. What if Jesus came into this auditorium and say, looked at Stephen and said, Stephen, your name is Stephen, and I'm going to call you son of... You know, I'd kind of cringe. Okay, Larry, you're Larry Rouse. I'm going to call you son of... What would it be? Let me ask you, you really don't have to think about that too long, do you? What would people know? They hear your name. What are you associated with? That's really not something hidden. And so again, there's the thing that I want us to think about. So let me tell you some things that we ought to be. The Scripture describes us at different occasions as we talk about Son of God, the child of Abraham. Let's talk about some of the descriptions here. Jesus entered into debates with people who really, really thought they were right with God and they were blind. Jesus had discussions with people that they were convinced Jesus was wrong. And they were arguing with the Creator of the universe, the author of the Bible. Listen to some of the discussion. John 8:37. Here they are thinking, okay, we're physical descendants of Abraham, therefore we're sons of Abraham, and Jesus is trying to get them to see, no, that's not what that word means. He says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants. There are physical descendants of Abraham. They would say, we're children of Abraham. Nope. But you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. Who's your daddy? Jews, well, who are children of God? Keep looking at the controversy. Verse 41. You do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. Let's go back to that. A child of God is going to have characteristics of God. What's our God like? My God is a righteous God, and He hates sin, but He's a loving God. My God is just and logical and fair and long-suffering. Jesus, verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, and nor have I come of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? If you're a child of the devil, you don't have a good mind. You don't want to think rationally. You don't want to see yourself. He goes on and says, because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you're not a God. There's a battle for the mind. And Satan would love to get you angry and grudge-filled, and you're not going to listen. Satan would love you to have so much concern for your career and your family that if you see potential consequences of believing the truth and it's going to cause you to give up those things that are more important to you, you don't want to see the truth. I used to think that all I need to do is present the evidence and present it out here for people to see, and people will see it. They don't do that, not when they're following Satan. People who are of Christ have a quality in which they act on principle. They are concerned about truth. There is a fairness to them. They have to make more effort to know what is truth. I'll tell you what, this world doesn't care about knowing truth. They're interested in fulfilling their desires. And so again, one of the challenges for us, I'm not preaching to people who are not here. Whose child are you? Let us be children of God. There are certain characteristics of how we handle problems where you'll see whether or not you're a child of God or you're following another direction. And so as we talk about this, there's another group of phrases that we talk about in Scripture. Child of Abraham. What does that mean to you? We need to know our Old Testament. We need to be familiar with great men of faith. This is just expected in these verses. But like in Romans 4:16. He says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise may be sure to all the seed. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. You know what the Bible is saying here? Romans 4 talks about how you're saved. You're not saved by a system of works. You're not saved by earning salvation. It's not a debt. But earlier in Romans 4, it talks about God is not a debtor to us because we've earned something. We're saved by grace through faith. What kind of faith? You see, here's the problem we see today in this religious world. The religious world teaches easy believism. You believe Jesus is the Son of God. You say that Jesus is the Son of God and you accept Him as your Savior in this quick prayer and now you're saved. Let me tell you about faith that saves. Faith that saves is the faith of Abraham. It's a faith that leads one to something that this world despises, and that's called repentance. A biblical faith pursues God, seeks God. Your will is broken down to where you yield, and that is a difficult faith. The faith of Abraham makes hard decisions. The faith of Abraham will have family reject them. The faith of Abraham will have people cast them out of the synagogue because they stand on principle. You a child of Abraham? Galatians 3:7, the Bible says, therefore know that only those who are of the faith are sons of Abraham. One of the things we've got to keep doing here at this church is emphasizing the truth and standing for the truth. The faith of Abraham will cause that one to take such a stand. Now, as we talk about Abraham and we talk about various things along these lines, let's go to the other side of the coin. Who are lost people? What are lost people like? From God's perspective, now, you know, the world's perspective, here's a good moral person. He feeds his cats and dogs. He mows his lawn. He pays his bills. He says hello to you every morning. He's a good citizen. What does God say about him? In Ephesians 2, or let's go with Acts 13 first. Here at Acts 13, there's Elymas, a man who was trying to convince somebody not to become a Christian. And Paul looked at him and gave this description of him. He says, and says, oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? Now here is Paul's analysis of the equivalent of the preacher of that day that was fighting someone to become a Christian. But now notice broadly to those who are lost. The good moral man, the religious leader that seems to be so well appreciated in the community, but they're not following the will of God. Ephesians 2:2, matter of fact, we all were once this, according to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 2:2, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Have you ever heard the phrase that somebody's cannon fodder? You know what that means? Is this person, they're good for being stuck between the gunpowder and the cannonball. And they're going to be blown up. You're cannon fodder. Children of wrath. Your destiny is the wrath of God. We talked about that last Sunday night. You don't want to face the wrath of God. To be called a child of wrath ought to humble us and distress us. I do not want to face God's wrath. A good moral man is going to face God's wrath because sin separates us from God. You have to have the blood of Christ in order to avoid that description. And let's look at some other verses. Matthew 12:30. Jesus says, "He was not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters abroad." When we talk about being a child of the devil, that's a very strong statement. And the Pharisees would have resisted that, and they had talked about how, no, we're children of God. It's interesting here. Well, let's just read the whole context. Let's go with verse 29, Matthew 23. "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous. And said, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would have not been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets." Now, let's just ask for a moment. Do you know how the prophets were killed? Let me ask you this question. You ever had a preacher preach something to you and you got mad as fire? Have you ever had another brother, maybe in teaching a lesson, or maybe even approaching you about some conduct that you've had, and they suggested solidly from the Word of God that what you've done and what you practice is not right? If you're ever a teacher of God's Word, you're going to have a lot of people getting mad at you. They got mad at the prophets and they killed them. Why did they kill the prophets? Because they did not want to submit to the will of God. They had other things that were more important. And what Jesus knew, the Pharisees, at that time when he spoke this, they had plans in motion to kill Jesus. Why were they going to kill Jesus? Because they didn't like what he was saying and they couldn't answer it. Partyism. Trying to stay within a religious movement or a group or belief because it's my tradition, it's my family tradition. And there was an unwillingness to have a heart that would be open. Oh, we're champions of the Bible. And Jesus tells you, "I'll tell you who you are." Verse 31, "Therefore you are witnesses against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt." Boy, they were mad at Jesus even more so. And guess what? Jesus told them exactly who they were. John 8:44. Would you would like to approach Jesus and debate him? Now, I'll tell you something. Jesus will tell us who we are. And you may say, was Jesus being ugly here? No, he was merciful. But there was some dark news the Jews needed to hear, and they didn't hear it. John 8:44, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. He speaks a lie. He speaks of his own resources, for he's a liar and the father of it." We've already read this, but you see the point here. The Pharisees were popular religious leaders and children of the devil. And what they did is they didn't stand on principle. They overlooked sin in their life. They overlooked sin in their allies. And then they tried to be hypercritical of people who had no sin. By the way, I sometimes make this point maybe as a humorous point, but it's really a serious point. I really urge Christians not to marry a non-Christian. I really believe that's a terrible mistake. And I really think you really ought not to be dating non-Christians. Because dating leads to marriage. But I've heard this statement made, I think it was Paul Earnhardt years ago. He says, well, if you marry a child of the devil, by the way, one who's not a Christian is a child of the devil. I don't care how you want to describe it, they are not in Christ. And somebody says, if you marry a child of the devil, you may have some trouble with your father involved down the line. Then the point would be that they're going this direction and you're going this direction, and there's going to be some conflict that's going to come in that. And I hope, again, we understand what I mean by that. Last section. Child of God. Brethren, as we look at this, and I look at Abraham, and I look at Jesus, I hope we all can share in this and we can say, you know, we do fall short. Oh my, there's so many things for us to learn, and if we can do that, I want to tell you something, that's what children of God do. We're not perfect, but our heart and our desire, our true, genuine motivation is to go in this direction. To become a Christian doesn't mean you have to reach a point morally where you're perfect and then you become a Christian. No, you become a Christian just as you are, as you sincerely repent of your sins and meet the conditions of forgiveness. It's a change of relationship and a change of heart. Notice how conversion is described. Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And then later on in verse 29 it says, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And heirs according to promise. So when, you know, I didn't read verse 28, but let's go ahead in verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ and have put on Christ, what do we mean when we talk about somebody obeying the gospel? It's not just them getting wet, but it's their heart that has changed. You become a child of God and you continue in that path. One more time, brethren, what I think is the acid test. The acid test to me of whether or not I'm going to be like my God and whether or not I'm going to be like everybody else is when people do me wrong. That's always been the consistent thing. Man, people, it's tough. Notice what Jesus said. You want to be a son of God? Okay. Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies. Let's just stop right there. Come on, let's be honest. Love your enemies. Easy, right? Easy, huh? I've seen brethren that they become enemies with some other brother and they don't want to see them. Don't want to shake their hand. Don't want to be in the same room with them. Can't wait to find something wrong with them and magnify it and talk about it. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Do I have to? Can I just say I love you and then, you know, hate them? Well, it depends on whose son you want to be. Verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Do you want to be a child of God? A lot of people don't want to be a child of God because they want the revenge. Their desire for revenge is greater than their love for God. But I'll tell you why that is. You haven't seen what God's done for you. Romans 5 says that when we were yet enemies, He sent His Son to die for us. And if we can just see the love of God, then I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to let go of this pettiness that I might have. I want to pursue those people that I think that have wronged me. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Now it keeps going. Who do you have in your home? Who do you try to reach out to encourage? For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Yeah, you're lovable, you're my buddy. You pat me on the back, I'll pat you on the back. We hate the same people. Yeah, I'm a good old guy. I'm kind to some people. Well, verse 47. And if you greet your brethren only, why do you more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. You know what, how you're being like God is when you're dealing with people that are unlovable and difficult and you're kind to them. And you help people that may never, ever, ever pay back to you the goodness you give them. But you do that because you want to be like your God. That's what being a son of God's like. Sometimes I have my Baptist friends will say, when we talk about a child of God can become a child of the devil, well, could a child of God become unborn? Now, can a child of the devil come unborn? Child of the devil can become a child of God. Hear that this phrase here is talking about the characteristic of one's life. Understand the meaning of the phrase. Our hearts can change. The Bible warns in Hebrews 3 and verse 13 about that our hearts can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You read in 1 John 3:10, you know, how, again, the practice of our lives, and this is children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. A person can love God, serve God, let their love become wane and become hardened. I know that can happen. The Bible warns us about that. So as we just summarize, and we'll cover this briefly here, we talk about being a child of God. We've already talked about personal hurts and anger. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Know that all of it. No hidden stuff. Get rid of it all. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Now notice the next verse. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children. You're going to be a child of God. Walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given Himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. There's the motivation. We've got to cease being that other kind of child, be a child of God. How about in marriage? Did you know Bible teaches the wife is to submit to her husband? And we talk about that. Our marriage class, Timothy gave some good material recently about that. We try to talk encouraging our young couples, we get together occasionally, talk about that. The idea of submission is not a demeaning thing, not at all. The idea of headship is a place of service. But in describing this, notice how it's described. We talk about Abraham. Do any of you women ever think about Sarah? Are you so familiar with the Old Testament that you think, I would love to be like Sarah? Maybe we're not really as familiar with her. We ought to be. Notice how the Scripture describes this. 1 Peter 3:5. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are. If you do good and are not afraid with any terror, it's kind of scary, husbands, when your wives submit to you and me. That's a scary thing. They're trusting our leadership. Ooh. Have you ever thought about that? Yeah. Be a good head. Be a loving head. It's beautiful as you think about that. The battle against false religion. Why do we call false religion out? Why would we, as we talked about last night and even this morning, if there's a religious group getting ready to making this movie, getting ready to attack the Lord's church, having a doctrinal background to it, why would we want to stand up and deal with that and expose that? Well, we're a child of God. Notice in 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I don't hate people that differ with me religiously. I love them. But there are ways that are false. There are ways that are being directed not from the Word of God, but through the party spirit like the Pharisees or through latter-day prophetesses that we see in this particular group I'm talking about and other things. And what I'm going to do, I'm not going to have fellowship with them and I'm going to rebuke them. Verse 17, therefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I'll receive you. People of God interested in light. We're not talking about being arrogant critics. We're not trying to talk about building ourselves up and we're the only ones right. No, no. We're talking about loving purity, loving fellowship with God, loving that which is right. There comes a time for conflict, brethren. Verse 18, I'll be a father to you, and you shall see, be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Some people, they talk about open-mindedness. What they mean by that is a compromise, and they're running from light. That's why doctrine is important. Whoever transgresseth is not abiding in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. I'm a son of God. I want to have God. What the Bible teaches is very important. One more time. I know we've kind of made the point many times. Whose son are you? Now, I have to admit to you, if I had a character in the Bible that I would like to be like, I don't know if I am. I mean, this would be one of the guys I would like to imitate. And that is Barnabas. And Barnabas was given a name. In Acts 4:36, it says, and Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles. Notice now, the apostles are starting to give names now. I wonder where they got that from. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. I'd love to be known as that. I can't tell you what I am. I mean, God knows what I am. There's one of those. I'd love to be an encourager. How about you? As you go through the scriptures, you end up going through the process of, am I a child of God? You know, the Bible talks about how we can call out to God as our Father, but verse 16 of Romans 8, it says, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Holy Spirit gives us His Word. We look into His Word. We look into our heart. We can know through that process if we're children of God. Okay, I think we've covered things. Know who you are. Don't play the hypocrite game. Get your mask ripped off. Respond to the gospel. Don't be the child of wrath. By the way, let me show you one other verse here, and then we'll extend the invitation on this. Judas. Oh boy, Judas. Watch Judas's. What was he a son of? You remember the beautiful prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17? Some great encouraging things prayed there, but what was Judas known as? He says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those you whom you gave me, I kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition. Judas is not the last son of perdition to walk this earth. And it's interesting that it's described as the sons of disobedience in Ephesians 2:2. And the Pharisees were described, get this, not just the Pharisees, but their proselytes. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. All right, I won't go there, you won't go there, how are we going to go there? Trust God, obey God, yield to God. We'd love to be this evening for you to make your life right with God. If we could assist you in your baptism into Christ, yielding to Him, we would love you to take those first steps. And Christian, let us continue to watch our hearts. What would it be like? Meditate on this. Jesus came today, came to your house. Your name is this. I'm going to name you this. What would it be? Let's think about that. I hope it encourages you. If we can help you in any way, would you come as we stand and as we sing?